Chase Frank is my guest today. She's just about ready to go. We're going to start by listening to a track from her brand new EP, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around.
I'm not faking it. I'm in a race against time. Whatever you do, don't claim you're a friend of mine.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Chase Frank. Chase, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. It's funny, it's summer again.
Yeah.
I was so happy doing the show for a while because it wasn't 105 degrees in here and we had the windows shut and everything for sound. And
it's not too bad. It's cozy, it's right for the vocals.
Okay, good. So listening to this track from your brand new EP, one might assume you have, 10, 15 people in your band? Tell me about what the Chase Frank collective
experience
is. Yeah.
it's all in my mind. It's, you know, just spawned from like a personal challenge to do as much as you could maybe by yourself through multi-layer tracking live. And, you know, there's a lot of great people that can do it really well. And I got really inspired by some pretty unknown artists from various places, including Tijuana, and just great. There's other places where it's really popularized more than, say, LA, you know. But yeah, it's fun and it's a challenge, and it keeps me more engaged than just playing the same part over and over.
And even when you play live, it's just it's you and you have a drummer that you sometimes play with as well.
I have a drummer, Ahmad Jamal, is really great, and he plays most of the shows. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes I play alone, but like right now.
did it start for you as just a girl and her guitar and doing sort of simple singer-songwriter stuff, and you just felt like you needed to add these layers to it, and so you
actually
started...
I was in a band and I felt like my music was getting more and more diluted, and you know, it's nobody's fault, it's just like different stylistic approaches, and I just really felt like I was confused. It was confusing my own sense of direction. So I left.
You thought you'd be better collaborating with yourself than collaborating.
Yeah, I needed to kind of make sure I knew my own voice. I think, like, you know, it's so easy to kind of get into, like, posturing and stuff that you don't want to do that you really hate.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like watching a video of yourself going, that sounds like a really gross pop song, you know? I don't want to do that. So then I went back and, you know, listened to my favorite music, Tom Waits, Nick Cave, PJ Harvey, and I was like, okay, I'm all better now.
On that note, let's jump into a live song. Just for our audience's sake, just describe briefly what I'm looking at here in the Kill Radio studio. It's an unusual setup.
I have a custom pedal board that was made by a really great friend who shall remain nameless because he's a shy guy. but if you want one, let me know. I'll hook you up. So it's I use a loop station, a Boss loop station, a Line 6 loop pedal, which is kind of a host of modulated effects from 60s and 70s. And then a couple fuzz boxes.
Nice.
And a couple cool amps, and I'm good to go.
What are you gonna play for us first?
How about High Horse, a new song that's not been recorded. Something special just for Is Good.
Oh, I appreciate it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Chase Frank. Whenever you're ready, Chase.
Thank you.
you like that last note?
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's how you end the song. It's the way it's got
to
be done.
Yeah, I like to keep people guessing, even myself.
Tell me a little bit about this whole idea of like taking blues, which, you know, traditionally is about being raw and kind of, you know, this term old school comes up a lot when you think about blues, but you're using modern technology and new concepts, loops. I noticed you also have artists remixing a lot of your work sometimes and things like that. So tell me about this sort of balancing this combination of the old and the new.
Ooh, that's a good question. I try not to think about it too much because I think sometimes you kind of look at what's going on around you that's popular and then start modifying your work and it's pretty messed up. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to. I mean, it's a conscious thing you have to work on, maybe, you know. But I was pretty much truly inspired by Nels Klein, the Geraldine Fibbers, bands that started doing that early on that were really maybe not as you know, recognized they are now. I mean, Nels Klein plays with Wilco now. He's doing all right. But he played for 10 years in little clubs like the Alligator and Santa Monica and all kinds of places. Like 10 or 12 people would be there with a bottle of wine, you know, like an art space or something. And really, I started studying him live and going to all his shows. And he kind of showed me how to keep that original, maybe like a vintage tone that you want without compromising your creative aspect, you know.
And that seems to be a sort of a recurring theme with you, is like you were kind of uncomfortable being in a band environment because it was pulling you in directions you didn't want to go into. And now that you're on your own
recluse.
As the Chase Frank Project, is that something you think about, though? Like, not, you know, being careful not to slip into trends and what may be popular.
I think it's easy, and I hear a lot of stuff that maybe because I listen to a lot of music, and you know this syndrome yourself, I'm sure, you don't want to get jaded with music because you love music, and you don't want to get to that point where you listen to something and go, oh, that's just blues, you know, or that's just, you know, some trendy pop song because you have some kind of predisposition of hate for
that
instrument.
Yeah, you gotta listen to everything with fresh ears,
except
the vocoder.
Right. That's hard to refresh. It's hard to hit the purge button on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that we're in a real interesting time. I mean, I think it would behoove us to explore as much as we can. We have so many different things going on, like the medium to get your music out to people, but also the ability to kind of, you know, challenge yourself. And I see a lot of people play that, you know, are amazing around here. And then I see people play that really don't challenge themselves, and you kind of feel that they stopped in the middle of a process or something. And I'm sure I sound like that sometimes too to a lot of people, but it's one of those things that, you know, maybe just I listen to the people that I've always been inspired by, and that's what they said to do. So
do you ever listen to a song that you've laid down a couple tracks for and sort of thought to yourself, you know what, this sounds like it was too easy to put together. I'm going to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah,
and
all the time. I mean, I don't want to, even if something, like there's a song on here called Sad Song, and it has a little toy piano on it. It's like, it's out of tune, and I wanted it to be out of tune. And it did come really easily, and it was a nice opening song. So I try not to mess with it, you know.
Yeah.
But there are points where you're like, just leave it alone. What is that saying? Ego is not leaving well enough alone.
Right.
There's the two extremes.
Let's listen to another track from the EP. What do you recommend?
How about that song? Sad song. Track one.
Okay. And this is not quite available yet, right? You just finished mastering it?
Correct. It is available? It's in production, and it will be available probably November 27th. And then official release date is January 8th, 2008.
Exciting.
All right. Finally. It's quite a story.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Chase Frank.
Sometimes you just want to hear ringing in your head. carries you along.
On is good on killradio.org. Nice. So this is not quite available yet. It'll be out soon. And
yeah, actually, you can go to MySpace and buy all of the tracks through Snowcap if you want it electronically. And we can do mail order as well right now.
And do you have other CDs available?
Yeah, I do. Winter Is My Summer and Be In My Mind, which are, 2006 and 2004. I think.
Do you like the process? I mean, I know it's really hard to put together an album and get it distributed and everything like that, but do you like the process of recording, or would you prefer to be doing everything live?
Both. I love all of it. I love recording. I went to engineering school to help me understand what I was getting myself into, because you think a lot of things are clear, and then you kind of go into the audio world and start understanding how you want to sound and how you want to make yourself sound instead of just whatever comes out of the amp.
Right.
It's like, that's how I used to play. You
it's
know?
Harder
so
than
it's
people
exciting
think. Yeah.
To get, and like get into that whole, the technical aspect. I'm kind of a analytical person. So
now there's a lot of
that's
technical,
an understatement.
There's a lot of technical things to consider in your live performance, because you're trying to recreate the sounds of many different textures at the same time. Is that sort of one of your main concerns when you're doing a live show, is the technical aspect? Like, do you have to sort of overcome all of that anxiety before you can even contemplate the experience of being on stage?
I never overcome it, because anything really could go wrong, and that's kind of my high, you know, that I get from it. It's sort of a little bit of a tightrope walk. And there's been plenty of shows where I fell straight on my face. Like, everyone knows it, but, and then I got better, so... Mm-hmm. So take that. No.
So what aside from everything,
I do loop it live is what you're kind of getting at. Yeah, I do loop it live. Some things, like the next song I'm going to play, has a pre-recorded loop that I did for the sake of consistency and beats per minute when you're playing with the drummer after you've been playing alone. Yes, gives peace a chance to all the honkers out there. when you're playing alone, you start getting into that mode where you're really not, you know, maybe things move around a little bit, and then when you start playing with the drummer, you're asking him to do a lot by playing to a loop instead of him setting the pace. You
he's got to follow a pace that's already been set.
Yeah,
that's got to be a real challenge.
And then I have to follow that too now, which is great. I love Ahmad's really talented, actually, with that.
Aside from everything technically going off well, what makes for a good show for you? What makes you go off the stage and go, yeah, that was it. That's what I do this for.
I think ultimately is just, you know, being having honesty in your music and being like putting yourself emotionally into every word you sing. And it's, you know, a challenge, but it's easy if you kind of teach yourself. It took me a while to like not lie. But I mean, with your music, you tend to like want to put on a face that you want people to see. And once you let that go, it becomes a lot more interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Like watching a crazy person.
Yeah, that's really well said, actually. It's interesting, because I guess, you know, when you think about it, you do when you see a lot of live performances, you can tell when someone's lying, when they're just doing the song, because that's the song that they do when they do their set, and they're not really performing it.
Yeah, and that's actually a handicap that we all have, because we have to play the same songs over and over.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of one of those things where you have to find a process for yourself that you can say, this is how I'm going to make sure I get into that. You know, like an actor, like, I mean, you want to get into that spot where you're singing from experience. And just to be clear, you know, like most songwriters know, these songs are all not about me. Because a lot of times I think as listeners, we all do that. Like, oh, wow, he must have had a rough childhood.
Right.
I'm singing a song. It's fictional. potentially, and maybe both, you know, mixed in.
Well, let's do a live song, and we'll talk about sort of the themes that you come back to in your writing. What would you like to play?
I promise not to cuss. Bipolar
it's
Bell.
Internet radio. It's fine.
Internet radio. Okay, I like cussing. Bipolar Bell.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever you're ready.
But you criticize, yes, it's in your eyes. You're so high and mighty, grounded, not flighty. And who could tell you're not living well?
Wow, you must have really had a hard life.
Exactly.
No, of course, you must have, because you're a musician, and it'd be impossible if you'd be a musician if everything went easily for you.
So true. Well said.
Tell me about what you like to write about, you know, even if it's stories about other people or if it's completely abstract and metaphorical. There's certain ideas that you like to write about. I mean...
Yeah, it keeps changing. Right now, I'm really into that kind of spot where maybe things that are almost unovercomable. Is that a word? that are unimaginable. That, you know, a lot of people have this idea of fate and idea of. You know, karma and all these things. But when something happens out of the blue, like say you get hit by a drunk driver, which I did 2 weeks ago, right in the middle of the record release and everything, I was like, you know, and those kind of things, but say take that and multiply that, you know, times 100, right?
What with the earthquake in Chile just happened,
you know,
7.7.
Like a real tragedy, you know. What happens and how do we deal with that on an individual basis inside? It's really internal, like environmental stuff that I'm kind of fascinated by, yeah.
So a lot of people like to sing about hope and renewing their faith and love And so you would say you represent the voice of we're not going to make it.
No, I represent the dark before the dawn.
Nice.
Yeah, because nice. I think that if you immersion is a definite like approach to life. I think that if you kind of really, you know, what is that? The five stages of radical acceptance or something in psychology. Right. Like there is that stage of acceptance, and you with any little thing in your life, like whether it be, you know, traffic or, you know, tragic death in the family or whatever, what happens is your mind, you have a choice to like control how you handle it and start talking to yourself or and working with it, or just, you know, denial.
Right. Which you can is confront it
very
or you can
popular
avoid it.
In all our culture.
Oh yeah. Denial is very popular. Mm-hmm. It's a national pastime, you might say.
Yeah, exactly. Football and denial.
Yeah.
Two things we love as Americans. And like the war that's going on right now, I mean, one of the reasons we like your station is because you are talking about those things. And, you know, a lot of people in music say, well, you know, don't talk. I mean, you don't want to ruin your music career and, you know, be political. It's like, I don't know what to say to that. I mean, everyone I love has always been honest in their music. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the people we all are familiar with, Bob Dylan, Patti Smith, you know, Lou Reed. I mean, come on, you know.
Well, that seems to be a recurring trend, too, in any artistic industry. No. It's like who wants, you know, don't ruin your music by being an artist. That would
being unapologetic about what you really have to say. And like that song I just played, I mean, my boyfriend's a social worker. I hear stories all day about real people that are, you know, going from he takes people off the street, gets them situated, finds them a house, finds them a job. That's hard. Yeah. They are used to not doing that. There he is. Hi, Albert. He's a you know, public servant. So I hear a lot of that. I also actually that song was about an old boss that I had that I was her seventh employee that she was going through. It was like, wow, this is going to end soon, you know. And she happened to be ex-military. And it was like fascinating because she was so, you know, sure of everything and unaware of herself at the same time.
Do you think of yourself as a bit of a public servant? Like, since you're able to write honestly about things that matter, do you think of that in terms of it
only
being
when
important?
I'm drinking? No, I'm kidding.
Like, is it important for your, like, what do you want your audience to get from your music? Do you
want
them to listen
beer
to the lyrics and
places to stay making their beer? No, yeah. You know what? I don't think of it like that. I feel fortunate that my mom, for example, growing up, you know, started me on piano young, and music was a big part of my culture growing up. It wasn't like, I mean, everyone was learning an instrument, you know what I mean? And now, I'm not that old, but it's like now we don't really have music in the school. So I feel like I got a lot of exposure. And then, you know, being in the culture of Southern California, we do have a lot of great music. And a lot of people might, you know, we all have moments where like, oh, the scene.
I hate that word scene. it's awful.
You know, the scene sucks. Well, you know, it's kind of what you make of it. Like, we all can find good music out there, and it's, you know, at times a challenge, just like you went on the internet. Yay.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I've had an easy time with it, actually, because all I have to do is meet good musicians, and they tend to know other good musicians, and they do most of the work for me.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that, too. That's pretty much how we tour.
I mean, good musicians tend to flock together, and I'm sure you've performed with artists that you say, I'm going to try not to perform with that person again, and you perform with artists where you go, you know what, I should make sure I get another opportunity to play with them.
Or ask about, you know, say you're going up the coast, and, you know, you ask the bands that you know and trust, and feel they're on the same wavelength as you musically, and say, well, you know, can you recommend a band to play with in this town? And it's usually like, yeah, of course, it's so-and-so, you know? And I would do the same. I'd do the same for them. Like, Rademacher is a really great band from Fresno that I hope you could have on scene. They're really amazing. And they play, you know, they have a couple bands that contacted me and said, Rademacher sent you to play, want to know where to play in Long Beach. It's just a network of friends trying to, make it work.
Let's take a little break and listen to another track from your CD.
Sure.
What should we play?
How about, you know what would be a really good one? Is track 5, I think. It's called 6 Degrees and has the guest vocalist and prose writer and, you know, MC Beegs. He's from Coaxial on GSL.
Cool. Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Chase Frank. Stick around.
down and out.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. Hanging out with Chase Frank, myspace.com/ChaseFrank, chasefrank.com. What's the best place to go to get the most up-to-date info on what you're doing?
The website's under construction, so they can go to myspace/ChaseFrank.
Cool. That'll
probably be easiest right now. There's some new music up there and show dates, etc. We are playing tonight in Fresno and tomorrow in San Francisco and Saturday in Merced.
Do you like to do that to sort of like get out of L.A. for a little bit and play in front of a fresh crowd and then come back and do some more L.A. shows? Or
uh-huh.
Do you prefer to travel? Or Yeah.
Dude, I'm that song that Iggy Pop wrote, Nothing's Gonna Take, what is it? Nothing's gonna take the road out of my heart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my boyfriend turned me on to that song, and I was like, hey, there's my justification to go on the road right there.
What kind of venues do you like to play in? Like, do you prefer to play in a sort of intimate setting where people are close to you and can really absorb the music, or do you like the big crowd, you know, auditorium
kind
of
vibe?
I
like both. I think I tend to modify the set accordingly because, like, we played a really fun show with another band you should have on, Min May, from Portland, Oregon, and The More Shallows, who are now on Anticon Records from San Francisco. And that was a cool room because it's square and it's long and you can kind of like, it's intimate and it's big, you know, it's mm-hmm. It's small though, compared to some venues. But yeah, I like, we played at Dante's. I actually opened up for the Suicide Girls in Portland.
Wow.
And that was a big venue. That's, I mean, at least, you know, for my level, like 1,000 people or whatever. So it was fun. I like the sound system a lot.
Now, Los Angeles is so unpredictable in terms of draw and who's going to come to your show and when and those kind of things. So have you had the experience where, you know, you pushed a show and then, you know, it ended up being a really small crowd and you just have to go through with the show?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and sort of forget the clinking of beer glasses and conversations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to play for one person there. I think that, you know, you'd be surprised at what happens. Like, I mean, this sounds really, you know, Hollywood right now, what I'm about to say.
I can't wait.
A year and a half, now you're like, perfect, is good. That's
Here's
our
my
theme.
Sound bite.
Here it comes. Okay, so I played a show a year and a half ago, and this lady from Warner Brothers came, and she ended up choosing Front Lines, which is off of Winter Is My Summer, the 2006 release, for the theme song for her show.
Oh, wow.
And it's going into pitch sessions right now and everything. Well, I've never been through that before. So I was like, sure, okay, right. And then she handed me her card and I saw that she was for real. And then I never heard from her for a year, you know, like at least a year, but she would come to my shows. And then I get this call, like, we're going to do this.
Wow.
It's going through. And we did a new version with the mod and drums and everything. It sounds really great. And actually, you can hear that on MySpace as well. We just posted that. But
so the moral of the story is you don't know
you
who
really
you're playing
have to play.
For. Yeah.
I mean, I always heard that and I was like, yeah, right, you know. But I love all ages venues. I love all ages venues. Like, we played a show in San Diego a couple weeks ago, and I mean, we sold tons of stuff. People were into the show. They listen. They're singing along my words, and I'm just like, I don't remember people in San Diego knowing about me. Like, it was cool.
That must be really gratifying.
Kids are fun. You know, I liked going to shows at that age, and you take it more seriously. And hopefully, we can all stay that young.
All right, you ready to jump into another live song?
Yeah, sure.
What's this one going to be?
How about Doubt?
I don't know. No, that's good. Doubt, yeah.
Exactly. Keep them guessing.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Chase Frank.
I take that back. I'm going to play The Flickering.
You own the place, wondering why you don't see on everyone's face what you want to see. The flickering, sickening, you gasp, can't breathe. Washroom occupied, run outside, wash your face in the mirror on your knees. It's just the dance of things. Thank you.
your quiet rage, you play the game. Smile and nod like everyone there, like you don't care. And the absurdity of everything. Highs and the lows, they go down so slow. Wear your best James Dean when you dance with me in the flickering. It's just the flickering, 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 flickering. Don't be alarmed, darling. Girl in the mirror, she's free. It's the dance of things.
All the phaser effects and things like that you throw into that song, it gives it that kind of science fiction edge to it. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Been listening to a lot of Secret Machines.
Okay. What's your sort of writing process? Like, are you the kind of person who gets an idea for a song and has to scramble to find a napkin to write it down on, or do you set aside a time to write? Or how's it work for you?
The first one. Number one. Spontaneous. Door number one. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
Best song I've ever written was in Target, and I was like, damn, now I got to buy this book, you know? I started scribbling. But yeah, it's, you know, stuff's like that. I mean, things that really make you mad are the best songs, because mm-hmm. you have to process it, and it's really cathartic for me, you know?
And then is it usually kind of fast from, like, you write the song out, and then you go and you're so into it that, you know, you got to go and do you finish the song and write it out, or do you have a lot of kind of unfinished songs that started off as ideas?
No, I try to finish them to the best of my ability without forcing it to that point. And then, you know, if you want to put it on the shelf, that song is, that's weird that you asked that, because now I'm like, wait a minute. We're talking about a really good example right now. The song that I just played was a whole different key and a whole different song. And then I really liked the words, but I thought it was a little bit morose. And I just wanted to make it brighter because it's a little more sarcastic, maybe, for me. And
that's interesting because you can really hear that in the music. There's a humor to the guitar playing.
Yeah,
that
good.
Comes out.
Thanks. I like stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's hard to do sometimes. Like, you don't want to overdo it, but you want to kind of, like, you know, have the guitar have a voice that's a lead, specifically quote a lead or whatever. And just layers are cool. Like, I've always loved Spaceman 3 and all that, you know, Spiritualize and all that stuff. I'll always love people that kind of push that envelope a little bit, you know, and blend stuff that wouldn't normally, like you're saying, blues and swirly guitar go together. But, you know, I mean, how can we say that? We've heard, like, South African music with hip hop right now. Like,
right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, well, then, you know, sort of your job as the independent musician who's not bogged down by a label telling them what to do, to say, no, they do go together. Look, I'll prove
Check it.
You know, this is, I say they do go together.
And who's, as you said, who's putting any constraints on me? No one but myself. So there you go.
And where do you stand in terms, as an indie musician, do you want to sort of make sure you always have that freedom to distribute your music the way you like, even though it's a lot of work, or would you like to?
You know what? I would like to find the appropriate label for sure. I just don't, I'm cautious about that. For many recent experiences, and you know, just a matter of ideas that people have versus what they can do, you know. And we all have those limitations. I just am a realist, so I feel like at this very moment that works for me. I am talking to a couple of different labels that I'm submitting to, but for the next project, which is already about half done.
So you have this EP that's about to be released, and you're already working on a new production?
Yeah. I like making records.
Nice.
It's fun. And it's what I like to do. I mean, I want to keep it rolling and get as much recorded as possible, because I feel like, you know, inspired by that right now, so might as well chase the tail of the wind.
Well, before we run out of time, you want to do another live song?
Sure.
What would you like to play?
Do you want a short and sweet or hard and dirty?
Ooh.
I could tell you're going to pick number two.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll do that.
We could do both if you want.
This sounds like we're picking up on each other right now. Damn.
What are you doing after the show?
Do you want it hard and sweet or thick and dirty? Whoa, that... Something happened. I changed a word. It sounded way dirtier.
Give me a song with girth.
Girth is doubt.
All right. Let's do it. I mean, the song.
And you can't get it out of you. Inside, it's inside, and you can't get it out of you. It's inside, and you can't get it out of you. Inside, it's inside, and you can't get it out of you. Thank you. it's inside and you can't get it out of you.
That was a really wild ride. That was awesome.
You like that one?
Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Chase Frank. We can do whatever you like right now. It's my show. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Just like it's your music. You can do it however you want. We want to listen to another track from the EP and then maybe do Doubt and then we'll sign off.
We just did Doubt?
I mean, the other one.
Cartwheels?
Yeah.
Sure. That'd be cool. How about, why don't you put on Third and Orange, number 6. I had to think. I'm sorry.
All right.
Third and Orange.
This is more Chase Frank on Is Good on killradio.org. We'll be right back.
Do what you feel right. Break the chains and let your tether heart fly. Just break the chains and let your tether heart fly.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Chase Frank. Before we jump into one last live song, I do want to ask you about singing. How did you sort of find your voice? So did you start singing? You said you grew up kind of in a musical family.
Yes and no. I mean, there was always music, but I wouldn't say it was a musical family. We weren't the Von Trapps, that's for sure. I mean, my family's always had art and music and dance and stuff in it, for sure. But yeah, I am lucky that way. But I think just listening to like Motown and using the hairbrush to sing, basically. Mm-hmm. I really didn't get voice lessons or anything.
Did it just come out this way, or is this something that you've worked on?
Are you kidding?
So your voice has evolved over the years?
Yeah, I used to suck. Like everybody else, you know? I mean, we all start off just trying to develop your instrument. It's like an instrument, basically, I think. And a lot of people focus mostly on that, so I think I'm lucky because, honestly, guitar was more of a challenge than vocals for me. Lucky. I mean, I do hit wrong notes, but it's like, generally, I don't think too much about it. I try to let that just happen.
And with this setup, you have to remain focused on so many things. You can't get bogged down with, is my voice perfect today? Or
yeah, and I definitely would not have been able to do this like 10 years ago. I mean, because I was concentrating on the notes. You know, so now, yeah, it's easier.
Now, we talked a little bit about, you seeking a little bit of help from a label and continuing to put out albums. Mm-hmm. Do you have sort of an end game in mind, like how you'll know when you've arrived and sort of accomplished your goals?
Yeah, I can quit my job.
So is that sort of your objective, just be able to do this?
I work as a contractor, just like, you know, temp projects and that type of thing, so I can work around my tours and whatnot, because that's my main career, and I have to think of it like that, or else it's not going to happen, you know? So, right. I mean, that sounds really dry, but it's facts, you know? So the more I can just be sustained enough to tour and, you know, that type of thing. I love playing live shows. I love meeting bands from all over the country. And, the next goal is really to go to Europe. And, you know, this year we're going to be at, what's it called? South by Southwest. I drew a blank. And that type of thing, you know? So, yeah.
So you want to just be able to do this, basically. You like what you're doing. You want it to be
more.
The thing that you do. Yeah.
Every day. Yes.
Nice. Well, that's...
I can't complain. I mean, it's fun.
All right, cool. So we're going to do this this live song. What's it called again?
Oh, and more gear.
Oh, and you want more gear?
If anyone has a piano you want to donate.
Nice.
Man, I'm doing a shout out. And another... No, I'm just kidding.
So what are we going to do now?
One more song?
Yeah.
Cartwheels.
All right.
It's it'll be on the next EP, the next album, not this one.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Chase Frank.
That's how I feel when I'm kissing bourbon lips. You're a platform, stability. I'm a window, fragility. We are standing. We are standing. precipice. You are floating on a fifth sea of nonchalance, and I no longer give a fuck. We are leaving. And I think we're leaving to Fresno.
Off to Fresno, and that's for the show with Rademacher, right?
Yeah, and Light FM from LA, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in and
thanks
being a part of IsGood.
It was really fun.
This will be available for download later today from isgoodmusic.com and myspace.com/thisisgood, as well as podcasts on iTunes. So drop by and check that out. Check out myspace.com/ChaseFrank and chasefrank.com when that's up and running. And you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.